Well, it's Wednesday, and here it is, Monday Night Sports Talk.
And we missed last week because of Easter week. You know, you have to take Easter week off because you and I spent a lot of time in church during Easter week.
That's right.
Back in the old, starting Wednesday, it's a marathon. In fact, we might even have the Stations of the Cross on Monday and Tuesday before the Wednesday, before the things got really serious, right?
Oh, back in the day we did.
Yeah. I was trying to remember when we really got the long Stations of the Cross. What do you call 1/5 of the rosary? You know, the
decade.
The decade.
Yep.
There was the one time that week, you know, you used to go to the Stations of the Cross and he'd throw you an Our Father and a Hail Mary and go to the next one. But I think it was on Good Friday. They said a whole decade of them at each one of the Stations of the Cross. That baby took. Well, they had to kill 3 hours, and they figured that you could hour the Stations of the Cross, and then another hour feeling bad and other
stuff.
It's
like doing an afternoon drive radio show.
That's right. You gotta have segments. But anyway, we're back. That's what counts.
So, I want a pre-recorded interview here. Let's break it up a little
bit. That's right. Yes. Such avoided those. You did very few pre-recorded interviews, right, in your days on Garage Logic?
None, virtually none. Maybe one or two in the whole time.
Oh, man. To me, that was the nirvana of Coach.
I know,
talk
but
radio.
You have a completely different attitude about radio.
Right. Yes.
In fact, Pat would be so happy he'd kick out the studio door like, greatest gift of talk radio.
Then he'd leave.
Right.
Of course, the greatest gift of talk radio was those wonderful years when we had the Twins. And the 1 year that we did every spring training game, and I was still doing noon to some damn time.
Noon to three.
1 year, 1 March, 7 shows. It was fantastic.
Right.
It was 7 shows 1 March. And then we went cut back to doing like 50 weekends and then an occasional weekday.
And then, of course, that was followed by my personal favorite moment in the history of 1500 ESPN when Joe was going through the list of day games only to find out they had switched stations.
Boy, was I disappointed.
Went to their own station. That didn't work well.
Yeah.
That didn't work too well.
He's saying, well, look, we got Baltimore at noon. Hey, Joe, you do realize they've moved on to 96.3.
Hey, can mention this. What the hell? Our old boss, Brad Lane, is the new boss at the Big Neighbor.
That's
did
right.
you know
I
that, Joe?
I saw that.
I heard that.
Yeah, he's going to be the PD. I did exchange text with him the other day about something.
Lost his franchise players, so good luck to him. Dave Lee retired.
That's right. Dave Lee did retire. And
is he done?
Yeah,
I think end of this month.
I saw him in spring training. He was down there doing that, and he said, "I saw that shot you took on Twitter," which was everybody was saying, "Dave, what a mass amazing!" He did 4 hours every morning. I said, "No, he did 32 minutes four times every day. It was more like 2 hours because the rest was ads and segments." So
How are the boys doing right now in Detroit?
They're down 2-1. Wilson Ramos, former hot Twins prospect that we traded, catching prospect that the Twins traded for the great Matt Capps.
Oh.
The year that they actually turned out they didn't need him to close, but they thought they did. He never became much of a catcher, but a big offensive threat a couple of years, and he's fallen off now, and the Tigers picked him up for virtually nothing, but he just hit a home run to put the Tigers in.
I was going to say, I was shocked. I didn't know he was on the Tigers, because I thought the Mets gave him a multi-year deal, didn't they?
No, the Tigers, the other day, their lineup, I believe, on Monday, first game of the series, which was not a good game for them, five Twins, either farmhands or former players.
Wow.
Goodrum, Akil, Badu, who may be the greatest player in the history of baseball, Ramos, Scope, and Robbie Grossman.
They were
all in a lineup. Yeah, they're Twins. Twins East. They were, and
aren't they all former Twins?
Yes.
Oh, I say okay.
Badu and Ramos.
I would have kept him just for his name.
Oh yeah, I would too. It was a second round draft choice in 2016, and he kept getting hurt. So they thought they could slip him through the winter draft, and the Tigers grabbed him. And now, Joe, he hit a grand slam off them on Monday, right? Was it Monday?
Monday, yeah. Yes.
Grand slam when the Twins killed him. And then he had another, didn't he have another home run in that game? I think he had. And then yesterday he drove in the winning run in the extra innings thing. And he had another hit in that game. And today he tripled, the first time up, he tripled in the first run of the game. He's, according to what I heard driving over here today, he became the first player in Major League history to hit a grand slam one game and drive in the winning run the next or something for a rookie or something. It was some stat like that. So
we... haven't said a word about the NCAA. That was completed Monday night. I was somewhat surprised at the ease with which Baylor won that
game. I was at the ease, but I had watched Baylor play once in the regional and then against Houston, and was really impressed with the way they play defense, how fast they play defense. They get right on your in your face, and it's not pressing you, but it's you don't have a moment's rest. And real athletic guys, they pound the board. So I said in the middle of the UCLA-Gonzaga game on Twitter, Baylor will beat whichever team wins this game. And that said, UCLA and Gonzaga made the college basketball season worthwhile. That was a fantastic game.
That was a great game.
That was a great game. And, of course, Suggs was the hero with the bank in one end. But the real heroic play by Suggs was when he blocked that shot late in the game and then threw the bounce pass that went about 60 feet.
Is the Baylor turnaround the greatest in the history of sports?
Athletically, yes. They were Northwestern. They were in the old Southwest Conference. And then when the Big 12 first started, they were the chumps.
But didn't they have a player shoot and kill another player?
Yeah, they did have that.
A disaster, program.
They did have that. Who was the coach then?
I'll have to look it up.
Are they a private school?
Yes, it has Baptist roots, I believe, but I'm not sure that it's
Waco, Texas?
Yeah, yes. Waco, Texas.
It's out there in the middle of nowhere, man.
Yeah, they had a little bad PR there a few years ago, David Koresh thing, but what the heck.
Damon Morgan Jr. I'm reading a different story. I'll try to find that.
Yeah, one Baylor basketball player killed the other one. That was cost a fellow his job. That was Bliss. Bliss.
No, Bliss is the football coach.
You know what that is?
Bliss
that's
was
the
basketball coach. That's that dissension. Is
dissension. Yes.
I'm not sure if it was over drugs or females, but they're both addiction, so I don't know which it was. But, yeah, that was a bad deal, to say the least. There's a great 30 for 30 on that floating around somewhere. So.
I was reading that Roy McIlroy made a visit to Tiger's place down in Jupiter recently.
Oh, really?
And but we never got any word from Rory if Tiger's up and about.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't know that he is.
The sheriff finally told us that he was speeding, that high speed caused the crash. What was the deal the other day? We can't tell you what caused the crash.
Right.
That was weird, wasn't it? I mean, and then you thought, well, what, did he have a female companionship in the car, or that she ran away, or what the hell? And then it turned out he was driving too fast, so why were they afraid to, tell us what it was about? He must have taken so much heat that they finally had to announce what it was today, or maybe got Tiger's permission, I don't know.
But it's pretty bad. Well, of course, he's not the type that would make a ceremonial visit to Augusta, is he?
Oh, God, no.
You know, the hobble out there on the crutches would not be him.
I got a hunch. He's not the guy to do that. No, not. And he might not be getting around too good yet.
Right.
Shattered bones. I don't like that when they call it compound fracture. That means she cracked and went through the skin.
Yeah, you were right, Patrick. Dave Bliss was the coach then. Mm-hmm. Patrick Dennehy was murdered by former teammate Carlton Dotson in 2003.
Mm-hmm. So, and that was Scott Drew got the job after that, right? Does it tell you what the dispute was about in there?
It doesn't. In this particular story, it does not. Mm-hmm. It just says that that they had a confrontation. That's all. That's all it says. According to this particular story.
I believe one of the gents was selling something that he shouldn't have been, and he figured that he thought the other one was ratting him out or some damn thing.
Is this Drew relation to the kid that for Valparaiso?
That he was the he's the son. He's the son of the longtime Valparaiso coach.
But not the kid that hit the shot.
Bryce Drew.
That's Bryce Drew. Okay.
Yeah, he's his brother.
Okay, gotcha.
But the old man coached Valpo forever. Scott Drew took the job, coached 1 year, and then got the Baylor job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And coached there. And then I have heard, this was 8-9 years ago, somebody told me this, that nobody was more creative in their recruiting than Baylor was at that sure. time. Kind of tucked away down there in Waco. Nobody watching too closely. Somebody told me that, you know, it was a third-hand source, obviously. But somebody suggested that you could get in. You could get in, and you didn't have to walk to class, you know, if you went to Baylor. You know, if you wanted to live off campus and wanted to get to campus, you didn't have to wait for the bus to run through the campus.
I gotcha.
That's what they. I heard.
What are the Gophers going to do for players next year? Now that everyone's fleeing.
Everyone's fleeing. We have 8 in the transfer portal. Now there's going to be, when this is over, because they haven't even officially said you get the free transfer, right, Reavers? Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be at
the convention. It's supposed to be occur. Everybody's doing this based on the assumption you can just walk away. You know, mm-hmm. and it used to be you had to either get your release or sit out a year or appeal it on some phony, you know, baloney reason that you had to be close to your family or something. But it's supposed to be you get one free transfer. I don't get why Liam Robbins is going to get the transfer again because he transferred here and didn't have to sit out.
That's true. Yeah.
So he's already done it. Now maybe it's starting all over again, but they in Division I basketball, which has got 300 and some teams, Joe, they expect 1,500 to eventually be in the transfer portal.
I forget who wrote it, but someone had suggested that what the NCAA should do is if there is a coaching change, that player should be allowed to transfer.
Yeah, but now they're all you all can transfer.
Right.
You know, you all and so but what this is going to mean, Joe, is the future of, especially in basketball, the teams are going to change from year to year. You know,
oh, it's going to be free agency. Basically,
just because you get the best player and you know a great recruit as a freshman doesn't mean, yeah, you finish fifth in the Big Ten, you get beat in the first round of the NCAA, and yeah, hell, I'll go someplace else. You know, where I have a chance to do better. So.
Will Suggs leave that program to go
yeah,
to the
he's
NBA?
Gonna, yeah, he's going to be top three pick. Yeah. So, yeah, we've talked about this, but it's an unbelievable idea to digest, or fact to digest, that the best freshman basketball player in the country and the best male and the best freshman basketball player in the country, female,
right.
We're both from Minnesota.
No kidding.
Isn't it? Yes. It's impossible to believe that.
Why is high school basketball improving so dramatically here?
I think part of it is we have more diversity in outstate areas, non-suburban, and in suburban areas. And, you know, we have a different... You know, we don't have South St. Paul, not very good in hockey, powerhouse in basketball.
Really?
You know, that this year, they were really good. They should have went to the state tournament, but they got beaten a 90-something to 90-something regional final. The changing demographics is obviously part of it, but also this whole development summer playing.
The AAU program is strong.
The AAU, that you only play one sport. You know, summer basketball and...
Well, I'll put it this way. My niece, who's a freshman, and she started as a point guard down in Faribault, She's been playing year round for at least the last 4 years, and she's a ninth grader. You know, so Pat's right. The development starts at an early age. It's because it's basically followed the same model that hockey has had in this state for years.
Well, I'll give you this example. I was looking in August when they were the high schools were not going to have fall sports originally when they said they weren't going to have fall sports. I was looking for a multi-sport athlete who wasn't going to be able to play his or her fall sport, and maybe not her winter sport, blah, 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 her. Well, it turned out somebody gave me the name of this Mia Monahan, or Maya, M-I-A-H, Maya Monahan from Glencoe Silver Lake. So I went out there to see her, and she wasn't going to get to play volleyball. And she it turned out it was a family of four sisters, all of them, you know, she didn't have to have a winter. Her dad's the coach, and she didn't have to have a summer job because she was getting a scholarship to Eastern Illinois. So that was the family rule. If you got a scholarship before your senior year, then you didn't have to work. So she'd sleep till noon, and it was a great kid. But all her, you know, she was close to her high school mates, but she was just as close to her AAU team from the Twin Cities, all these kids that she'd played 4 or 5 years with in the various age groups coming up, the age groups. And I don't know, I can't remember what the name of the AAU team, but these kids are all buddies, you know. They're from all, from a 100-mile radius, you know. It's a different world. They all play together, and they're, and I've been watching her on Twitter, and she's sending out congratulations to everyone from that AAU team who's getting a scholarship here and a scholarship there. And it's a different developmental world than it was in 1961 when Minneapolis Roosevelt was unbeaten going to the state basketball tournament, and like their 11th and 12th players on the team, they beat somebody in the Mound, I think, in the regional final. And somebody from Mound, a kid from Mound, had seen these two kids play for a Demolé, which is a Jewish youth group, team in the summer in some little pickup tournament in some gym. And teammates were not supposed to participate in any summer activities, you know, organized summer activities, and they threw Roosevelt out of the state tournament because the 11th and 12th players on the team played in a little, you know, Jewish basketball tournament in the middle of the summer.
Wow.
Nowhere, you know, not really organized. I mean, back then, no out-of-season participation, organized out-of-season participation.
What was their reasoning? Why did they have that rule?
The only place that you could do it was Legion Baseball was okay, but everything else, I don't know. I don't know why.
The Zephyrs made that 61 tournament.
Yes, they did. They beat Edgerton, I believe, didn't they?
I believe so.
They ended
Gene
the...
Gene Rabel, Pat. Remember Gene Rabel?
Oh, yeah. Mink Farmer.
Yeah.
Now, we talked
to
him.
That Mink Farm really stunk, too. You could smell it everywhere.
I can tell you that. I've told you. One of the old man's schemes to make us rich, you know, to, you know, if this had only worked, or one of those other 300, you know, I wouldn't be doing this still, but, you know, right. I'd have that kingdom. But the old man was going to raise mink once.
Yep.
Because he decided we had like 40 cages out there. You got to keep them in their own cage or they'll eat each other. They're the meanest little bastards that ever lived. And I remember having to feed, and they stunk, because they could, I think they can emit a scent, right? It's not like skunks, but it's, but it ain't favorable. No. That's what they use to defend themselves. But God, you'd come back there to feed them, and they'd just be screeching at you. They wanted to get out of there and get all of your throat and kill you. And you know how they killed them? They electrocuted them in the anus.
Oh, boy.
And because they didn't want any marks on the mink, on the fur, right?
Yeah, you wanted to keep it clean.
And I said that was too good for him. They were too mean. They were, that was, you were being too nice to him when you electrocuted him in the anus. Because they were not friendly creatures.
So when the guy came with the probe, the mink knew, well, this is it.
Yeah, right, this boy, he was really screeching then. Yeah, that one didn't work. That one didn't work either.
Who had that job at the Roycey farm?
Usually Michael, but when he wasn't around, my old man usually, but if he was off, then once in a while I'd have to go out and feed him this horse meat or something. God, the food stunk. The mink stunk. Ugh. And if you made one little mistake, they'd chew your finger off,
sure.
You know.
So, I can't
so let me ask you something.
Yeah.
This didn't really work out for Richard.
No, it didn't. It did. I don't know what he did. Knowing him, he might have just turned them loose. I don't right. know what happened. They might be mink running around eating cats or some damn thing down there in the still today. I don't know what happened to them. They just disappeared.
If they stunk, the cuisine stunk. I can't imagine the smell after the electrocution. That couldn't have been too favorable either.
No, that was a fried mink scent. Yeah, it was. But that was, yeah, they were. Joe, I was actually telling Katie about this the other day, and she was getting repulsed, of course. But remember when the women who couldn't afford a mink coat used to wear the stole with the head on it?
Yeah,
they have a. You go to old garage sales. They got the mink, just a dead mink, kind of. You know, they fluffed up the fur and made it look better. But it's got the head and the feet on it, and they wear it around their neck.
You wear that around the neck.
Yeah, and basically the reason they did it is, you know, they kept the head and everything on there so they could say, "Hey, I got a mink."
You know? Look at me.
Now, of course, you can't wear a mink in public else you're a bad human being.
Oh, yes. So. Just, Jane Fonda will be all over you.
Yeah, yeah. We don't worry about that. I don't think anybody wears them anymore because we don't worry about them anymore. You don't hear that. We got other things to worry about.
Yes, anyway. We do.
Anywho, so
Wild play tonight at home.
Yes. Those Avalanche are pretty good, but they've been whooped before and then came back to beat them the next game, right? Didn't they get drilled out there and then come back? And they got swept out there last time, but the previous time.
I think one of the first weeks of the season.
They got whipped and then they beat them,
Pat, have you been watching the Ernest Hemingway, the Ken Burns Ernest Hemingway?
Oh, no, I got to watch it. Is it good?
Started Monday. Tonight's the final.
Oh, just a two-parter?
Yeah, but they keep showing it over. No, it's three-parter. Tonight's the final part.
Oh, I haven't seen it. No, what are we just calling it, Hemingway? Yeah,
it's called Hemingway.
Okay, I'll find it.
Wait a minute, but last night you didn't it didn't grip you. I'm sorry, the previous night it didn't grip you, Joe. But last night it gripped you?
No, it's still, Pat, I was saying that among the Burns stuff, I've really pretty much always enjoyed it. But I struggle a bit to get a handle on Hemingway. He was so all over the map so crazy and but yeah, Chris, I found last night just as more interesting, and tonight's probably going to be the most interesting segment because you're going up to his death.
Morality wasn't high on his list of
no, he'd be with the third wife, and across the room he'd see a woman that he would say, "Well, that's going to be my fourth wife." You know, he didn't.
Well, isn't that how Sid would handle an interview? He'd always love to see if there's somebody better to talk to.
Yeah.
Now, there's this movie maker. I used to watch his movies a lot till he became the pariah of America, Woody Allen.
Yeah.
And the movie about that Owen Wilson is in, where they're in Paris. And Midnight in Paris, I think. And it goes back into time of, it takes, you know, he gets this old Hupmobile comes and picks him up at midnight, and now he's back in the 1930s, and then he's in Paris, and then but Hemingway, Gertrude Stein and Hemingway, and the Hemingway character in there, it's worth watching, because the Hemingway character makes these absolutely endless adjective-filled description. Everything he says is just like he's writing about a bullfight or something. Right. I mean, it's pretty funny. It's the script is pretty funny. It's a pretty good movie, actually. One of his last funny ones. Of course, if you watch Woody now, you're the Me Too.
You're held in suspicion.
They're gonna get you a lot. Yeah, they're gonna get you for. I refuse to watch the documentary, which upsets my wife very much.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it either.
Mm-hmm. I just said, I don't think it's a... from what I've been reading, it's not a fair, but we're taking me aside of it, I said. So, anyway. So
I was going to mention, we attended a spring training game during our trip. And, spring training can be a bit more lax, where the crowd's not really paying attention. And we took in Peoria, and you were right, by the way, the Arizona circuit, you can hit about five games in 3 days. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It doesn't give you the feeling. So, nobody's like attached to one particular city or anything. The Cubs may be out in Mesa. But.
So we took in, this would have been Tuesday of last week, and it was, I believe, Padres and Diamondbacks. Excuse me, Monday of last week. And Machado and Tatis were both in the lineup that day for the Padres, which was kind of impressive. And a Diamondbacks fan was taunting Tatis the whole time. You aren't worth $300 million. And his buddy said, "Hey, Frank, Tatis has been out of the game for four innings." He was taunting the kid training. That came
the
in.
Poor kid, yes. Yeah. Well, one advantage of being in spring training this year is you could hear you can hear the
throughout
conversation
the park,
down below me. I could hear the conversation, and you always got the guy who's pontificating to his non-baseball friends, passing along his knowledge, who doesn't know bleep, but he's acting like he's invented the game. You know,
I was laughing because I'm thinking, when's he going to find out that Tatis hasn't been in since the third inning? You know, it was pretty good.
Well, new brand of spring training. End it when you want to.
Right.
Are you attending the home opener?
Oh, yes, I will be covering the home opener either tomorrow or Friday or whatever it is.
Is it just season ticket holders, or did they sell some to the public?
No, I don't like the public. I wonder what the season ticket total is.
Oh, okay.
Are the radio guys not traveling with the team?
They are still not traveling with the team.
That's amazing.
Gladdy not real happy about that.
Oh, that's just amazing.
Yeah. I heard him talking today saying, we don't. Buxton's back in the lineup here. We don't really know what happened, but there was some discussion as to whether he was going to stay in the game or not.
I wanted to look this up. What they had in Texas the other night? They announced 38,238 for the Texas Rangers and the Toronto Blue Jays because the Rangers, Joe, are allowing full capacity.
What are the Tigers allowing?
I think it's the same as here, isn't it?
Yeah,
Pat?
Yeah,
around
small,
10,000.
Yeah. Abbott, that was quite a grandstand move by the governor to say he wasn't going to throw out the first ball in Texas because of the Atlanta decision to pull the All-Star game out.
Yeah.
And he actually had only been invited to participate as the first responders throughout the first ball. But he, so they had some school or first frontline workers or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had some teacher who had lost family members throw the ball to a healthcare worker, which, and then the Rangers wouldn't say anything about it because they don't want to get in a feud with him and they're already. But the word was that he might have thrown out one of the ball, but he was not the official thrower out of the first ball.
That's somewhat similar to when the Nationals had invited Fauci and Trump had said, well, I already turned him down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Fauci, after that throw, he wishes that Trump had shown up. He was supposed to do it again this year, but they just played. Yesterday was the first time they played
because they had the COVID outbreak. Yeah.
They got COVID. They had they were missing 11 players, and they won yesterday. And then now today they got beat, I think, the first game. But they're playing seven-inning doubleheaders now. So.
Oh, that's right.
So Maeda looked out of this world in spring training, and he has refused to challenge anybody in his two starts here, and he's 3-2 on the ballpark.
He's getting cute. Yeah, I don't like it.
Well, that used to be the rap on him with the Dodgers, that he was a nibbler, and he looks a little like a short Gibby the first two games out here. By the way, did you see our old friend Kyle Gibson? He got the start for the Rangers. Not in their home ballpark, on the road, the home of the first game of the year. 1 1/3, 7 runs.
Whoa.
that wasn't good for poor old Gibby. That's true. So, what? I actually would have liked to go into the Wild game the other night. I couldn't get in because, I hadn't filed early enough. But I really like to know how excited, to talk to the actual public, how excited they were to go and finally see the Russian in person. Mm-hmm. That would have been something.
Did they have 10,000?
They only letting in 3,500.
Three, all right.
3,000, you're right. They're only letting in three. But by spring, when they're in the playoffs and they're letting people in, That will be a pretty good crowd.
Here's what I want to know, because we attended a game Friday, and what they did was I had to buy 2 pair of tickets in the upper deck to go to Petco, right?
Yes.
So me and William sat in 2 seats, and then she and the other and my little guy had to sit down the aisle. Well, what sense does that make? We all came in here together. I don't get this.
Nothing makes sense.
No.
Nothing. None of it makes sense.
Joe, you'll love this. So I, watched a little bit of the game, but that's the first time I'd been to that ballpark. So I wanted to walk around and see what they have there. They have the San Diego Baseball Hall of Fame at Petco Park, all right?
Ted Williams in it?
Ted owns that ballpark, him and Tony Gwynn. But they're claiming if you had a cup of coffee in this ball or with the San Diego uniform on and you're in the Hall of Fame, we're claiming you, baby.
he did play in the Pacific Coast League before he played with the Millers, I think.
Yes.
And he played with the Millers in 1939. Sid drove
Put him in there because he grew up in San Diego.
Yeah, he grew up in San Diego. Yeah, can you imagine San Diego when you were Ted in the 1930s, man.
Wow.
No people. It was just a fishing village and with some military in it was all. We might not even had the military there yet because the Japanese hadn't, become the big threat that they were. But, damn, that place must have been something in the 1930s.
Oh, I bet.
Nothing I like. No movie time. Nothing I like better than pre-World War II movies set in Los Angeles or San Diego or places like that. And I love those movies.
Isn't the scenery amazing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they do them back there in the old cars. And, all these little living area, the apartment buildings, but they're not buildings. They're just all their little tiny houses, and they were all in these little – you can still see those little – squares there where they got like 8 units in there.
Well, check out the Laurel and Hardy movies when they're filming outside. You might as well be in Stillwater.
Yeah, it's great. I just love that stuff. Meanwhile, your Twins, making up for the other day, have thrown out 2 runners at the plate to help Maeda get out of trouble here. So,
well, they got the fleet-footed Miguel Cabrera out at home on that fly ball to right field.
Yes, Miguel. I think when they said they were sending Miguel, he turned to the third base coach and said, "Are you serious?
Really? You know I'm going to be out by about 9 feet, right?"
They wouldn't do this to Nelly Cruz, for God's sakes. They wouldn't make him try to score. Don't do that.
Isn't it nice to have him in the lineup?
Oh, God. How about the other day? How about the other day? Were you watching the other day when they thought he nicked the foul pole?
Yes.
For a grand slam? Yeah. Gladden was convinced he nicked the foul pole. And the next pitch is an absolute rocket. And Gladden, I heard him later, Provis said, "That's 5 RBIs today for Nelson." And Gladden said, "No, he's got 9. He had 2 grand slams and 1 at-bat.
They should have countered it twice."
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's something. He's something. He's a smart hitter, boy. He's a smart hitter. You can overpower him once in a while with a real good fastball.
Do you think, had they gone with the universal DH, he would have taken a deal elsewhere?
No, he would have. Well, the Twins would have had to pay him more, or else he would have gotten a 2-year deal somewhere in the National League. So, anywho. Anything else going on, buddy?
I'm awaiting my COVID test result.
Yes, and you're a vaccinated person, so
I'm a 2-vaccine guy who had to have another bleeping COVID test.
I told the bride about that today, and she's very concerned because she is closely monitoring. She just got done watching something about people who've been vaccinated who got the COVID.
Oh, great.
And I said, don't tell us that. Come on. Yeah. We want to get going.
It is funny, though, to see the states and how we treat COVID-19 as I made my trek to and from.
Oh, yeah.
California, serious. Yeah. Lockdown. Don't you even look at me from across the sidewalk.
And what's your next state coming back? Nevada or Arizona?
Well, you cross through Nevada and the very tip of Arizona. Utah takes it pretty serious.
Okay.
You get to Wyoming.
Yeah, right.
What the hell is COVID?
Yeah, but social distance in Wyoming is 6 miles.
That is
so
true.
What difference does it make?
Yeah, that's very
true.
They
got like 8 people there.
Arizona's kind of a mixed bag, though. They, because, you know, some of the elderly people, they do take it serious. But then there's, you know, the younger crowd that couldn't care
less. I told you guys about the second day I was in Florida, I drove to Northport to see the Twins and the Braves. And I'm driving back, I said, you know what I need? A Diet Coke. And I pulled off into this gas station right on the corner in Port Charlotte. My guess on Port Charlotte is the Don carried that by a fairly good margin. Yeah. when I see that. And I didn't know what the rules were, right?
Sure.
So I slapped on the mask and walked in this convenience store. And for the first guy I saw gave me a look like I'd walked in with molesting a child, you know. And they all, nobody behind the counter, nobody in the place. So then I said, okay, I'm going to leave this on just to agitate people now, right?
Yeah. Did you already sell the estate?
The estate went before it was supposed to hit the market.
That's amazing.
They were... We had the house full of Mikulskis, and a few people walked in, and they.
Rook got one last mooch in off you, huh?
Yeah, right. He did. Yes, but that was okay. That was okay. So, but it was, it went quick and for over what it was listed at. So
that's incredible.
Holy mackerel!
And Joe, this is they're basically suing. The developer, yeah. And people don't care. Florida's going to have more electoral votes than not this time, but come 2030 census. Somebody said there are 1,000 families a month or something. No, 1,000 families a week or something are moving to Florida.
Wow.
Because a lot of, the metropolitan, New York lawyers are moving to Florida and working 3 weeks a month, remotely, and then flying back for a week, and big shot people are basically making Florida their residence and then flying back. And
did your residency even last 5 years?
Yes, we bought it in 2014. First time we used it was 2015.
All right,
was the first time we used it, and
you got 6 years out of it.
Yeah, it was okay, and the bride kind of lost interest last year. I don't know if she lost interest in Florida or interest in being in a confined area with her husband, but she lost interest.
Yeah, combination of the two,
whatever it is. I could just detect it that. Plus, the other thing is the wireless was lousy down there, so the TV didn't work as good as it should be. It should have. That had a lot to do with her unhappiness, too. You'd be right in the middle of the Kardashians and the thing.
It'd go out.
The guy ought to be able to get the Wi-Fi squared away, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, but we've had two crews in there, and these were not brain surgeons, either of them. We had to take what we could get. So anyway. But, it was okay. It was okay, but, It makes a lot more sense to rent something for a month,
than owning it for the year. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know what I was when I bought that place? Impulsive.
Yeah. Oh, you're reminding me.
I've been known to be impulsive.
We forgot to add one thing, Joe, to the list.
Yep.
The stuff Royce doesn't like: paperwork.
Paperwork. Yes.
Forgot to add paperwork to the list.
Yeah. You know what else I don't like? Guys being in the batter's box and kind of pouting. You know, Joe, when you when you feel like you've drank too much Diet Coke or, you know, mineral water or something, and you have that little urge to belch, right?
Yep. Yep.
And you kind of pat yourself on the chest.
Yep.
That's what Arise did, and we had to take him out of the game.
Right.
He had heartburn. We took him out of the game for heartburn.
I know.
Heartburn. We didn't let Buxton play for three games because he wasn't feeling great. Mm-hmm. As I said the other day, it's baseball. You're not supposed to feel great. Oh. You're supposed to play unless you feel lousy. You can't just feel not good. You got to be sick, right?
Yes. I mean, Donaldson didn't make it past his first at bat.
He made it to second base. That was it. That was it.
Is he back in the lineup yet?
Oh, no, he's on the DL.
He's on the DL. He's on the DL. For the
God's sake.
Yeah. No, it ain't. It ain't the eye. That's another. Put that down.
All right,
injured list. Injured list. Disabled list. It was the DL. I think starting in 1880, it was the disabled list, but now it's got to be the.
It's very offensive, Pat. The disabled list. It's very offensive.
It is. It is very offensive. So, anyhow, I think we did him a fine, good job after missing 2.5 weeks, don't you?
Well, hell yes, especially for a Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck. Let me know how things turn out there.
Yeah, well, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean,
what are you going to do?
Pat, I knew he wasn't feeling good when John Hyde in his newscast announced that today is National Beer Day, and Joe said, I don't want a beer. I don't feel like a beer.
I'd rather have a tooth pulled than have a beer.
I've been feeling pretty good.
There you go.
I don't know how come. I don't know.
Good.
Must be that. Those fine, my fine nutrition habits that are probably doing it.
That's right.
All right, sir.
Very good, boys.
Monday Night Sports Talk. We're back on Wednesday. Yeah. We'll be back next week. Who knows when?
If you want the best lawn on the block all season long, hook up with a Minnesota-grown lawn care company that knows that dandelions, mystery weeds, bare spots, and blight are completely unacceptable. That's ProfessionalTurf.com. If you want service techs with 20 years of experience, techs who throw down a combination of environmentally friendly weed killer and slow-release long-term fertilizers, then visit ProfessionalTurf.com. And you know what? While you're on the website, take a close look at their landscape projects. And don't forget, they'll service your irrigation system too. You will have the most lush and luxurious lawn on the block. It's our one stop for exceptional landscape irrigation services and the best lawn on the block, ProfessionalTurf.com.
Everyone has gone mad in March trying to narrow the field down to 16. This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group, and they have their 16 for you. Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies, giving them options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage. At the best price, by the way, the difference is that the Canopy Group has options. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match with you, the company providing the best coverage at the best price. They do this year in and year out. They just moved me and saved me a bundle. I am a believer. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology isn't foolproof. Sure bet is the Canopy Group saving you on an average $810 on your home. That's $810 on your home and auto insurance. Visit thecanopygroup.com. Thecanopygroup.com.
Hey, it's Reavers here once again for Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. And Josh has a very simple question for you, and it's, do you know what you own? You see, Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold's clients, they always know what they own. And Josh has found that most people that he meets with every single day, they have no idea. Josh has seen retirement portfolios that have a big percentage in bonds, and there are real instances of people paying more in commissions and fees than they can possibly make on the rate of return that these bonds currently yield. So Josh begs of you, know what you own, and make sure you tune into Garage Logic every Tuesday and Thursday for Mr. Money Talk's report. You're going to hear it from himself. That's right. Josh joins us every Tuesday and Thursday in Garage Logic. Trust is often overused, and it's even harder to find. Please, you can take it from me that you can trust Josh. Give him a call today for that free 48-minute financial consultation at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608.
Investment advisor services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Kaufman Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk.